I want God's way to be my way. I sigh, Jenny, here below. For there is no other highway that a child of God should go. Though the road be steep and rough.
Who hath heard such a thing? Who hath seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion traveled, she brought forth her children. Mm. Brother Nzima, these are words which have been ringing in my mind from Isaiah chapter 66,
Amen.
Verse 8. Because the crusade that just ended on Sunday seems to be pointing in that direction.
Amen. That is right.
It's a situation where it seems the church has been born in one day.
Amen. That's right.
You are looking at a village where there are hungry souls. All the previous crusades, we've tried to cooperate with a few people. You would see that, well, there's a church maybe in a certain locality here and there. Just religious groupings. And this crusade was quite unique. We didn't go through that route. These are people who were simply visited directly in their homes.
Yes.
And I think it's a crusade which has been organized in the shortest period.
Yes.
Not in months, but in weeks.
Yes.
And it has also been the most dramatic.
Yes.
It's been the most dramatic. And Brother Nzima, there's so much to talk.
There's so much to talk about, Pastor, even before the event itself.
Right.
Yeah, it was very touching, very overwhelming. Just to chip in a little bit, I remember when the brothers told me there was one who was a parent who was asking for prayer. So I was wondering. So they said, no, well, let's visit this lady. She insisted, so we had to go there a day when we started the mission work, now the following day. And so we reached at this house. It's a farm setup. And then this lady, humble mother, called us in the house. I mean, invited us, welcomed us, and there were a number of people. It's a farm. They were packing the harvest of maize into their bags, and there were a number of workers. She seems to be doing fine. So I could see. So we entered this house. We call it a village, but not typically a village the way you may imagine it, like a mad house with grass. Not really. A good house, good home, sizable house. And then this lady sat us down. So I was wondering what she really needed. So she asked, she said, so we know you, we've seen the tract. So, I mean, the flyer. So what are your terms? Where do we start from? What do we do? So I told her, we don't charge anything. She said, oh, okay. So she was surprised. She said, yeah, we don't charge anything. So whatever you need, we'll pray with you, but for free. And now what surprised me was she caught people coming in. So I was trying to scan who the patient was. There was no patient. They were all looking okay. So finally, a young girl came who was at school, and then she had, she suddenly there was this sickness which made her fall, started falling. So they had to withdraw her from school, and they were... The mother was looking depressed. She looked at me with a sad face, the mother of the daughter. But the grandmother was eager. She was believing that God would do something.
Amen.
Then she said, no, please, I don't want you just to pray for her. You pray for all of us. Now, what surprised me was when we started singing, I was with my guitar and the brothers, Brother Laxon, Brother Feston. There was a mighty visitation. So I was saying, no, this is strange. In the mission field, we struggle. When you go to a house, you struggle with darkness, addiction. But there, it was automatic. So I told the brother, says, wow, this is strange. Yeah, so they said, please, tomorrow you are coming again. Yeah, so, wow, it was quite something, Pastor.
Is that the place where they told you, why don't you bring a church here?
No, that was not the place.
That was a different place.
Now, that was the third or fourth house. The first one, there was a lady, an elderly lady. I think I had shown you in the crusade. The one who was dancing.
Yeah. I remember seeing that.
She was a woman. Yeah. She was saying, look, this is, make this long. Let's have more of this. I think I'm getting mixed up. There were so many people. Sorry, Pastor.
Yeah.
That particular lady, had told us, she said, because, you know, when we reached the house, she was looking very sad with tattoos. She, if you look closely, she has a lot of tattoos on her face. And she looks sad.
Now, when we talk about tattoos, you know, there's some brethren from the Western world, they could be thinking it is their style of tattoos. I need to explain something
here.
An African tattoo is a cutting you make on the body for protection, for some spirit to protect you, or for medicinal purposes. You know, in the West they do it for styles and all they may not understand.
So usually we use a sharp little a blade, like a razor blade, and then they put so she welcomed us. We sat down. So I was saying, this place. So we told her, no, we brought the tract, we introduced ourselves, and then she said, oh my, okay, this is wonderful, you people, this is good. Then she said, please, so we started explaining to her our mission, our purpose. We told her what the Lord Jesus Christ, because the tract was saying Jesus still heals and he delivers. And then there was John 19 verse 10, which says he came to seek and save that which was lost. So we brought that down. Then there was a symbol of some hands with the chains broken.
Right.
And then a sword. So I told her, what we have brought is the word of God. We believe it's a sword which can break. Now look, these are chains. These are not his strings or straps or ropes. These are chains, metals. But no matter how hard they are, only that sword can break it down. So I noticed something got revived in her. She said, you can't leave me like this. Please pray for me.
Amen.
So we went into the house with the brothers. We started singing, and then we prayed for her. She was very happy. Now, she said, please, it shouldn't end here. I have a daughter. But she says, but why have you brought this good message for 3 days? What are we going to get in 3 days?
Yeah.
Are you scared of food expenses? You mean, I've got maize meal, I have animals,
and
we can add on that so that you have more days here. You can't just come and then just for a few days and
And you know, that is what is remarkable.
Yes.
This is a place where people are yearning for an assembly. And like you've said, I also had that experience when I first went to visit this village. You know, the healing of the headman.
Yes.
You could feel faith. Now, there'll be so much to talk about that, but we want to give a report on the crusade.
Yes.
And there'll be, of course, a written report. And over the years, I've become slow in doing that because the missions work are really keeping us busy. But this podcast will help us to quickly cover enough ground in terms of explaining how God's hand has been so gracious upon us. And maybe a good starting point is the vision experience of Brother Feston Banda. I think that was quite unusual.
Yes.
And I wanted to talk about that, Brother Nzima, because this happened on a brother who, of course, came to the faith through the crusade, which was in Rufunsa, and much later on, he got the word of God reached him. But he is someone who's just been about 3 years in the faith.
The crusade, which was in Chatama.
Sorry, Chatama, not Rufunsa.
Yes, yes.
And this is someone who is not coming from a religious background. And I emphasize that, Brother Nzima, because we are living in a time when there is a lot of exaggeration around supernatural experiences. A lot of the Lord spoke to me when God did not speak.
Yes.
A lot of I had a vision when actually there wasn't a vision. And That is why in this ministry, we've tried to emphasize as much as we can for people to keep away from fanaticism. Mm,
mm.
It's important to wait on a genuine, real spiritual experience than trying to make stuff up.
Yes.
And that has created an environment where when one has an experience, we know that this is genuine. This is legit, you know?
That's right, yes.
And this was an exciting experience, especially for this brother, because he has never experienced such.
Mm.
And here is a mission house, Brother Nzima, that we paid up to rent that house because
yes.
We know
Thank you.
The work we've gone there to do is something that will soon lead to a church.
Mm.
And so we've rented two house buildings there in this village.
Mm.
And you've been keeping up with these two brothers.
Yes, we have.
But on this particular day, you had to rush coming here so that we do a podcast recording, and then you needed to quickly rush back.
Yes.
Yeah. And this particular time you were here as these two brothers remained. And some people, as they read the report, I am hoping to include a recording where Brother Banda actually narrates this vision. But here is what happened since.
Yes.
It was late at night, around midnight. These two brothers are in this house. And one of them, his name is Lakson, he had this strange experience where he felt the room felt strange. He was trying to pray. He was failing to do that. There was just something he felt. And it wasn't very long after that, around 1 a.m., when there was a knock on the door. Opening that door, they found a man, an elderly person, who was asking for a place where he needed to keep up for the night. Now, who does that at 1 a.m.? And so the other brother, Feston, the one who had this strange experience, he told that man, sorry, we can't receive you. I mean, we are also visitors in this village. Instead, you need to go to the headman. We can't allow you here. So Lakson had a different idea. He protested. He said, no, let us let him come in, because he has come at a time when we wake up for prayer. So we're going to pray with him. And so they let the man inside and started praying. And so Feston explains that as they started singing some hymns, suddenly he started failing to sing properly. Okay.
Yes.
Something got a hold of him. He was filled with compassion and crying, and he started crying. And so this was very unusual. He has not experienced this.
Yes.
Instead of singing properly, his voice started cutting because he was full of tears and crying, and he did not understand what was going on. Now, this was a supernatural experience. And this is a brother who is young in the faith, in the sense that he's just been, you know, in this life of the Word of God for some 3 years. But these are brothers who've been grounded in prayer. They love the Word of God, but they are simple, humble, illiterate brethren.
Yes.
And very humble and very sincere. And so he is beginning to have this experience. And suddenly, you know, he sees something. Now, in his narration, he says, I saw a video. He doesn't even have the vocabulary, you know, of explaining what he was experiencing. He saw a video open before him, which we know was a vision. And he says it was just like a television. And he says it scared me.
Yes.
So I wanted to move out of the room where we were praying. He wanted to move into the other room.
Yes.
But he noticed what he was seeing was not leaving him. It was following him. And so he decided to pause and see what was shown. And he saw that same stranger,
yes,
who came in that house. He saw a truck, a canter, if you know what kind of a truck that is. He saw this truck, and this man was stealing maize. He was stealing maize together with four other people. They loaded that maize on that truck, and he saw that truck make its trip all the way to the place where they were supposed to sell that. The Food Reserve Agency, we call it FRA here. And he sold that, and now the money he made out of that, he saw the man getting confused in his life.
Yes, yes.
He left his wife and went to get a new woman.
Went to marry another woman.
Marry another woman, yes. And then the vision ended, and a voice spoke to him, tell him what you have seen.
Yes.
So now the other brother, Lacson, was still in prayer, and he didn't want to disturb the other brother, and he was still figuring out, how am I going to do this? But it came with a strong urge, tell him what you have seen.
Yes.
And so he decided to grab the hand of this man, and in his words, he says, although he's an elderly man, I just grabbed him, you know, in a way you would grab a young man or a boy. He said, tell me, did you have maize in a truck and you went to sell it? And upon speaking those words, the man started shaking uncontrollably with fear.
You've skipped, Pastor.
Yes.
Before he could see that, a voice told him to take off.
Thank you for reminding me that. Actually, before he saw the vision, a voice told him, take off your hat. Because, you know, his head was covered. Right now, we are in the cold season here.
Yes.
And so, of course, those who've been in the faith, they will know when we are praying, we don't cover our heads, you know.
Yes, yes.
But he was praying, and whilst his head was covered, and a voice, and this is not something we've taught about. I mean, maybe probably has never even read that scripture. But the voice told him, take off your hat. So he was wondering why there was such a strong urge. Then it came a second time, take it off. And he took off the hat, threw it to the ground.
Yes.
And it is upon doing that when, you know, he started seeing this vision.
That's right. Yes.
And so when he narrated to the man was so full of fear. He was shivering.
Yes.
And so that gave the brother courage to tell the details of the vision. And the man confessed everything spoken was true. And, you know, he desired to be prayed for.
Yes.
And he didn't want it to end there. Now, it was morning time. And he said, please come to my house. You pray for my whole family.
Yes.
You know, and it's at this point, Brother Nzima, that you and I, we were in the office here.
Yes.
I think.
After we did the podcast.
Yeah, we were done with the recording. And then a phone call came. And the brother was talking about how this stranger slept into the house. And at that point.
And how he was failing to the first, he just narrated the first experience where he was feeling that struggle.
Yes.
And then how the stranger came.
Yeah.
Yes. They didn't tell us the vision.
Yeah, they didn't tell us the testimony of whatever happened.
Yes.
And so Brother Nzima quickly told him, how could you allow a stranger? And I kicked in also. I told Brother Nzima, hey, can you tell him he should never, do such a thing?
Because I was looking at it this way.
Yeah.
I've grown up in the city.
Yeah.
And I know how we've suffered with burglars.
Yes, of course.
We are always locking ourselves up. And my brothers, they've grown up in these areas where it's in the rural areas. They don't worry about
thieves. Right.
So, and I'm always conscious. And I always tell them, and I mean, they're relaxed. I said, I'm sure they were relaxed because I'm not around.
Yeah.
So at that time, I was not.
And before we get into that second part of this experience, Brother Zima.
Yes.
Let's talk about the vision experience itself. You know, I'm so thankful to God that our approach has been whichever vessel is available, God will use that person.
Yes, that's right. That is true.
You know, we'll talk about the experience our children had when we told them to go in the field.
Yes.
You know, and here is a brother. He's not coming from a Pentecostal background. He's not coming from a religious background. No. These are people who just came
from the world.
From the world.
Yes.
And then they have a kind of an experience which you read of in the Word of God, a yes. vision experience.
Yes. Yes.
And one thing about it, it scared the brother. And even when he speaks his experience, it's not something he speaks out of pride, but with reverence.
Yes.
And he was able to experience, you know, how God can reveal the secret.
Yes.
In a person's life. Now, do you realize, Brother Nzima, that it is God who led that man to that house?
Yes, it is.
You know, it was in the night, and he just happened to come to that place. And then God gives a vision, and this vision, when the man heard it, it brought a conviction upon his life.
Yes.
And this was not something like the drama, the kind of drama we see. It is something which brought the fear of God in all the three of them in that house.
That's true.
They could feel it. The presence of God is here. And the man was convicted. I am so thankful to God that these are not just man-made missions.
Yes.
It is something where God... We are seeing the hand of God touching lives in a way that is really led by the Spirit.
Amen.
And that puts a testimony in the heart of people. That man's life, I mean, he was shaken to experience such a thing.
He was very shaken.
Look at how God confirms things, Brother Nzima.
Yes.
When we heard about that, I mean, we were so concerned. When we told the brothers, you didn't have to do that.
Yes.
We didn't know the testimony. And we spoke so innocently about it.
Mm.
And then the brothers also, they only got his name, didn't get his phone number, didn't know his house. Because now we told them, hey, it's already late.
Yes. You need to let him go.
Yeah. Let him go. Can you concentrate on the field work?
Yes.
And I guess they were afraid.
Yeah, they were afraid. So they let him go.
They let him go.
Oh, okay, let him go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so there's this communication breakdown. We didn't know what testimony had happened. And well, it was later on when the brother called and told us the testimony. Oh my, we just felt guilty.
Yes.
Said, well, you know what, Brother Nzima?
I felt bad.
We misjudged the situation.
Yes.
And we said, Lord, forgive us.
Yes.
You know, forgive us. And then we went in panic now.
Yes.
And you see, that's what human flesh does. Human flesh will make us misjudge a situation.
Yes.
It will make us give wrong instructions.
Yes.
Even when those instructions look right.
Yes.
Yeah. And when you drove off to go back to Chongwe.
So I drove off from here. That's 50 kilometers.
Was that a phone call you gave me, or was it a voice note?
It was a voice note.
Ah, okay. You did that whilst you were driving?
Yes. So I had to drive 50 kilometers from here.
Yeah.
All the way past that thing. I felt, because I was saying, look, we have been laboring, we have been crying, we have been fasting and praying to have people come like this one. And he's gone. We've let him go. I said, Lord, please forgive me. I had no idea. So now, I couldn't, it was so overwhelming.
Yeah.
So I decided to send you a voice note to say, please, let us just, God should have mercy on us. Because what was hurting me was the fact that we may never see that man again.
Yeah. That was my concern. So you remember what I responded?
I remember. You said, no, let's pray. God is gracious. He will help us, make us locate.
The way he brought the man, God is going to make a way for us to locate him.
But Pastor, to tell you, it was looking impossible to me. Will it be that easy?
Now, you know why it was looking impossible?
Yeah.
let me just show you this.
Yeah.
Chongwe is big.
Yes.
Okay? Chongwe is a very big place.
It's a big place, yeah.
I just want people to have an idea.
Because it's one of the
land area is 2,400 kilometers squared. And it has a population of about 300,000
people.
Okay, that's not a small number. So Chongwe is very big.
And the setup, Pastor, is different from Eastern Province.
Right.
You don't have a cluster of people.
Uh-huh.
These people are sparsely
populated.
You find a house here, you have to move another house. Mm. You may find a few houses. Mm. So that is a lot of work, actually.
Yeah, so if a person, when you miss communication with such a person, to find them again,
it's
probability is just very low.
Yes.
But so now, what happened?
So I'm here. You assured me it was comforting, but my mind couldn't think it would be that easy.
Mm.
So I said, Lord, please. But when you told me that, I rested. I said, okay, I rest. But it was still hurting me.
Mm.
So I drove off from the town. Then I reached the junction, going to the place now.
Yeah.
As I was driving, I met in the countryside. I met a number of three men looking drunk.
Mm.
Of course, and then they were stopping the vehicle.
They were all drunk.
No, let me not say they are drunkards, but not all of them were drunk. There was one who looked more
drunk. Okay.
So they were doing this. They were stopping the vehicle. So now I was saying, no, I don't pick. I can't start picking drunkards, and I don't know them.
They were asking for some who may not understand. What usually happens here is, more especially when you go to rural places like this, when they see a vehicle, you are driving a vehicle, people are in the habit of asking for a lift.
Yeah.
Okay, you give them some form of transportation, they request.
Yes.
Yeah, and that usually happens. And, you want to avoid people who are looking drunk, people who are looking unkempt.
Yes.
Because, it will be quite an inconvenience.
Yes.
And sometimes there's also criminal activity. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's what was going on in my mind.
Mm.
But I said, if God could speak to a man like that in the night.
Yeah.
I said, Lord, I don't know. These men may attack me, but I don't want to repeat what happened in the morning.
Mm.
If this is a way, this is a consolation for that soul that came.
Yeah.
Let me speak to this.
Amen.
So I had to stop. So, but I still hesitated. I had locked my windows. Ah, boss. So in our language, boss, we are asking
for a lift.
Yes. Yeah. Where are you going? They mentioned the name of the village where that man comes from.
Oh.
Okay. I told them.
That's what prompted you to let them in.
But they don't come there. They don't live there. Oh. They're coming from somewhere else.
Okay.
Yeah. And it was quite a distance. So I said, okay, I'll try my luck.
Mm.
So we're driving. Oh, okay. So I started interviewing them. how is the, where are you coming from this side? Okay, do you know people here? Yeah, we're going to visit some people. So I said, in this village, do you know a man? I forgot the name. So I had to call the brothers.
Mm.
Say, can you remember the name of a man? They told me the name.
The name do of that stranger.
Yes. Do you know this man? He says, oh, that's my friend. Now, this is what was surprising. That's my friend. I know him. I said, do you know where he stays? Yes, yes, I know where he stays.
Now, before you go on, that in itself, it's quite something.
It struck me, Pastor.
Here are people.
Yeah.
Randomly, they stop your vehicle.
Yes.
You didn't even want them to get in.
Yes.
But later on, you thought about that soul.
Yes.
Whom we lost contact with. We didn't even have a phone number. We don't even know where he stays.
Yes.
And then it happens, these people knew that person. And now, here is the confirmation that really... you know, he was really the person. Look at the conversation these people started talking. Yes.
Now, remember in the vision, after they got the money, his marriage was destroyed, isn't it?
Yes, he went to pick another woman.
Yeah.
So that now, was in the vision.
The other one says, actually, because I was almost getting close to where they were dropping off. He says, actually, here, this market you see here, the wife works at the market. Then the other one said, hey, you've forgotten that... the marriage ended with his wife.
Wow. And at that time, you now had the information about the vision.
Yeah.
That this man, because of the money he received, he actually married another woman. And here is this person you carried.
Yes.
They went in so much detail to correct the other friend that, no, their marriage ended, giving you a full confirmation of what the brother had seen in the vision.
Yes. So I decided, because I still had some flyers, so I decided to start giving out flyers in that village.
Yeah.
So I parked my car somewhere because usually we use bicycles. They are more convenient into the small. But I had to park the vehicle. And then I came out of the car with my flyers.
Mm.
So I started giving out. Now, this is what happened, Pastor.
Yeah.
I met a number of people. Then one woman, she was just passing.
Mm.
Then I gave her the flyer. Then I told her, I mentioned the name. I'm looking for this man. He says, oh, okay. Do you know he's actually my brother.
Wow. I didn't hear that part.
Yeah. She says, what? Of course, you know how it is in Africa. He's like a cousin.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but we still call
each other. Yeah, but I mean, it's so amazing.
So, he says, yeah, it's my brother. He says, you've seen this road. You go all the way. He's at
she the gave you the direction.
Yes, at the end of the village. That's where he is. That's where he stays.
Wow.
That he says, I was telling him, no, we had him. I didn't narrate the details the way they were. Mm. I just said, okay, we had him. He came to our place for prayer. He says, do you know that man? I don't know what has happened to him today.
Oh, dear.
He was so humble. He was so quiet. So we knew that something has happened to him. Wow. Then she said, I said, no, we can pray. He says, I have a lot of problems. So I told her, look, any problem you have, dreams, what he says, you've done very well to come. Let me take you to my house.
Oh,
I wish my mother was here.
Even that woman now.
That woman took me to their house. Yes.
Praise the Lord.
We started walking.
Mm.
I started walking some distance. Then we made a turn. I would give flyers to other people until we got to the house. Now, this is what happened. Before I could get to the house, she said, please, let me call my friend. She called another person, says, this is a man of God. Please, he's coming for prayers. We need to be available. Then she says, please, even that one, my daughter. Mm. And my so he started introducing a number of people.
Amen.
That's how it was.
Wow.
And by God's grace, so I told her, we are coming. We're coming to see you. So, but we're going to start with your brother because we still have an appointment with him.
Yeah.
And in the evening, for sure, Pastor, we found the man.
Amen.
Looking at him, I felt something. I said, Lord, thank you so much.
Amen.
That you know how to confirm your word.
Amen.
Now we got into the house. The wife was not there.
Mm.
And the daughter, he has a daughter who also has a child. And we started praying, Pastor. We started singing. This daughter was quiet, huh? Very quiet woman.
Mm.
After we prayed and started singing, oh my.
Oh.
She became excited.
Oh.
She started clapping, she started dancing, she started singing.
Wow.
Not exaggerated singing, a joyous singing. I said, oh my goodness.
Amen.
This is wonderful. So we sat down and we had a good time. The wife came, we counseled them. So she narrated the ordeal, how the drinking has spoiled him. He's almost, you know, getting.
Now, you see. Like I preached during the crusade when we were teaching people on how to get delivered.
Yes.
Look at the witness you had from his sister. His
yes.
Could have been his cousin.
Yes.
When she said, this man was all right and okay.
Mm.
We don't know what happened to him.
Yes.
But the vision revealed where that wrong spirit got on him, you know. The vision revealed it was after that incident that a wrong spirit got a hold of his life and his life is in confusion. And we don't want to dwell on that, Brother Nzima, because there's so much we want to talk about.
There's so much, yes.
So fast forward, the crusade started. That was on Friday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, started on Friday.
Everything about it has been dramatic. You know, Friday was quite a very busy day because some brothers were coming from work. Our children were in schools.
Yes.
Yeah, it's our children who play, you know, these musical instruments.
Mm.
Joshua, my son, does the musical keyboard, and Ntalalisha, son to Brother Mwansa, does the bass guitar, and you had all this other team, the brass band.
Yes.
So we were coming from all these different places, wanting to map out who gets onto which vehicle, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And we had announced the crusade would start at 17 hours.
Mm.
And then our truck had to load chairs and all these things.
Mm.
It had a breakdown, needed to be worked on. So we actually arrived quite late.
Mm.
And Brother Chavula, thankfully, he arrived in good time at the crusade.
Yes.
And then people, Brother Nzima, had started gathering.
Yes.
The crowd was swelling.
Yes.
The team which was supposed to set up instruments were not yet on site.
Yes.
And it's at that moment God used Brother Chavula.
Yes.
You know? So Brother Chavula wasn't ready for that, you know?
Mm.
But, well, he's an all-seasoned preacher. I mean, he's always ready to pull the trigger.
Yes.
And so Brother Mansa told him, you know, he needed to start speaking to the people.
Mm.
And Brother Chavula started preaching.
Yes.
And I mean, he is so anointed in that.
Mm.
And here is the part. You know, by the time I arrived at 18 hours.
Yes.
You know, and I was worried in my mind. The deacon came telling me, you know, people have been waiting. It hasn't been good. But Brother Chavula has been ministering.
Mm.
And Brother Chavula had to minister without a microphone.
Yes.
But here is something which was surprising. He tells the story himself, and other brothers confirmed it. People were very attentive to what he was speaking, you know. And there was no song leader because Brother Mansa has been sick, you know. His voice wasn't okay.
Mm.
Brother Chavula had to do all that.
Mm.
Now, here is something interesting. Brother Chavula started preaching.
Yes.
I was later told he talked about Peter and John. He talked about
the... By that time, I was out. We were still doing...
Oh, you were also.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the surprising thing is...
Wow.
I didn't hear Brother Chavula's sermon.
Okay, yeah.
But the time I came late, 18 hours, more people came.
Mm.
And Brother Nzema, this was the first day of the crusade, but the place was full to capacity.
It was packed, yes.
Oh,
yes,
my.
Yes, yes, yes.
You know, this is a small village, so we planned... We hired 200 chairs, and the place was full to capacity.
Yes.
That was amazing.
Mm.
And what I was told is the things I was talking about are things Brother Chavula preached on.
Wow.
My Lord.
Okay.
And the first day, I committed time to telling people about darkness and the light of God.
Yes, yes.
But you know what touched me is... Mm. When I called the altar call.
Oh, yes.
That altar call was not for healing, brother.
It was almost the whole group that came for
it. And that was not a healing altar call. I said, those who want to give their lives to Jesus after preaching that message about living in darkness and, God calling you out to salvation.
Yes, yes.
Oh, my.
Yes.
When we called people who want to give their lives to God,
it
was almost the whole congregation.
It was all filled up, yes.
Filling up. You know,
Yes.
And someone tells me, you know, there's, we don't need to do crusades, you know. The message has spread everywhere. You know, we just need to concentrate on mysteries and
it's
all
a
that.
Shame.
Yes. You don't know what you're talking about if that is the framework of your mind.
Yes, yes, yes.
You know, there are many places where the word of God hasn't reached.
Yes.
And that is why the other day I saw Brother Hubert D'Souza. He was baptizing people in India.
Yes,
that is one great man of God who is busy doing his missions in India.
Amen.
And when I saw that, I said, my, there is still a great amount of work.
There is a great amount of work.
And when I received that report from Brother, I think I got it from Sister Flossie, his wife. And she was telling me, please pray for Brother Hubert, pray for his health. Brother Nzima, these are elderly people. These are elders in the faith.
Yes, yes, yes.
He's still holding on to the word of God and with all health challenges which come with old age, still standing.
Yes.
I salute men like that.
Amen. We really give glory to God. Amen.
I believe in every part of the world. We all need to do the work in these places where God has called us to.
Yes.
All right. And that warms my heart when I see people being busy with missions.
Yes.
But then on the second day, Brother Nzima.
On the second day,
let me narrate my personal testimony, you know, what happened to me. In the morning, I had my quiet time in prayer, and I felt this burden on my heart as I was praying. I said, Lord, look at how people have come.
Yes.
Last night, I preached on salvation, and we promised the people that on the second day, we are praying for the sick.
Yes, yes.
I said, Lord, be merciful.
Because,
you know, on the first night, I had an opportunity to see some people who were sick, and they needed deliverance. And so their faces were coming to me, and my desire was, I said, Lord, do something for these people. We have preached according to your word in Matthew 28:19, but now do something that will comfort them, something that will help them, heal they that are not feeling well, you know. And as I was praying, my phone rang.
Yes, I
think you missed this part of the testimony. Oh, no, no, no. I think I narrated it to you on the last day of the crusade.
No, you just told me somebody called you. So I didn't know what exactly.
Ah, okay. So yes, you could be listening to this testimony. I had shared the testimony here in on that Sunday morning when I rushed back here.
Yes.
So, but other believers didn't get to have a chance to hear my testimony of what happened on that day.
Yes.
So as I was in prayer asking the Lord, do something. Let these people receive something.
Yes.
So the phone rang. And well, when I'm in prayer, usually if I forgot to put it on silence or I forgot to switch it off, I'll just cut the line and put it on silence.
Yes.
But it was Brother John calling, Brother Chilofia.
Yes.
So I decided to pick the call.
Yes.
And on picking it, he says, oh, Pastor, you know, I've never seen this. I've never seen, he says, we've had a crusade in Rufunsa. We've had a crusade in Chatama. We've had a crusade in Mtenguleni.
Yes.
But I've never seen a crusade in this manner. Where, because he's the one who was managing ushering and everything. He said, the level of attention, the hunger in the people, he says, I've never seen it. He says, all the team of my ushers, we didn't have work. When someone sits in a chair, they don't move in and out, you know.
Yes, yes, yes.
It was a very attentive crowd. He says, I've never seen this. Now, this is what you say. It says, you know, those people you prayed for.
Yes.
Let's not wait for drama.
Oh, yes.
He said, Pastor, I believe great things are happening, even as you prayed for the people yesterday.
Amen.
Great things are happening, but God works in simplicity. And wow.
Yeah.
When the brother, when we ended the call, I stopped praying. I said, wow, was that an answer to my prayer? You know? But well, fast forward the story. Later on, I was preparing myself for the evening service. And I was to preach on divine healing and how God can deliver people from all these bondages. Because like you said, Brother Nzima, this village is notorious for witchcraft.
Yes, yes.
And people are bound. People hear strange things.
Serious witchcraft, Pastor. Yeah. I'm sorry, but I have seen what I've never seen before. Yeah, so we are not just talking about, it looks simple, quiet, serene, but it's seductive.
Now, do you realize, Brother Nzima, the first time we went to Chongwe was 30 years ago.
It was 30 years ago.
To be precise, 29 years ago. You and I were young children.
Yes.
We carried our Bibles.
Yes, yes.
We looked for some little monies.
Yes.
You know, we saved up some little money just to get on a bus to go in this village. We were very young people then, but we still had the passion to evangelize. And even as young people, we used to hear funny stories about this village.
Yes.
I remember even the places we visited. We prayed for people. People were demon possessed. We cast out demons.
Yes, yes, yes.
But that time we didn't have instruments. We were moving from house to house.
Yes.
It was in that time that I went in fasting in the mountains, and I said, "Lord, if you can give me instruments,
yes,
and I would love to do crusades in these places." How the Lord is patient.
And Pastor, I still remember that 29 years ago.
Yes,
we must have been in the 8th or 9th grade.
Yeah.
We reached a place where there was like a funeral. Actually, it's the people who said, please, come and pray.
Pray. Because they had the faith, we can pray for the child.
The boy, he could, they said, look, just pray for that boy before we put him in the ground.
And
but this man stopped.
Those religious people, wearing I won't mention the denomination, but they scared us.
He said, don't pray. Don't pray anything in there.
Yeah.
But we could, but did you see the faces of those women? I still remember those women looked at us like, just pray. Don't look at
when
these men.
Those memories are still vivid in my mind.
They were looking at us. I could see that.
When I entered that house,
yes, yes,
they took the dead child
Yes.
Unwrapped him, and they were all showing us.
Yes, like, yes.
To pray.
Yes, that is true.
But you know, we were afraid
yeah.
because of the warning we were given.
Yes, yes.
And when we were having this crusade, I said, Lord, I want to take my revenge. Many souls need to receive salvation.
Mm.
And that night, Brother Nzima, it is sad. After 29 years, you go to the place, people are still bound.
Yes.
And what is worse, there are people like you and I who've received the end time message.
Yes.
And what has this message done? It has just given some jobs to some people to sit in offices.
Yes, yes.
In libraries. And pastors have big offices. And once we get established and we move in our vehicles, that's it. We are in cities. We are in towns.
Yes.
Brethren, there is still work. And when you see this foolishness of people spending so much time arguing about doctrines and who is right, who is not, what's the correct way of interpreting this? I mean, doctrine is important.
Mm.
I mean, I'm among the people who really puts strong emphasis on that.
Yes.
But I'm looking at, are we going to continue doing that at the expense of evangelism? Mm. You know, there are many people who don't know the precious truth.
That is true.
That you have. Mm. If there's one area where churches need to invest in, it's evangelism.
Yes.
You know, Brother Nzima.
And yes.
Yeah.
Yes, Pastor. No, please.
Yeah. You know, I'm looking at brothers who are in our church.
Mm.
And I'm so thankful everyone has caught the vision. All these other brothers have some businesses and companies.
Yes.
And their focus is on what equipment do we need to do? You know,
I
mean, I've reached a point. When I look at certain expenses we had, like much of the expense, I think, for this crusade went to transportation.
Yes, yes.
And you know, when I left that crusade, I said, Lord, I'm going to believe you for our own buses.
Amen.
When we hit a place like that, I've noticed every time we have a crusade, that's a major expense.
Yes, yes.
Now, but you know where much money is going in most churches?
Mm.
It's just this thing of making church buildings become more comfortable.
Yeah, yeah.
And you are enjoying that comfort. You are enjoying such investments.
Yes, yes.
But hey,
the world is starving.
If you go out there, it's terrible.
It is terrible, Pastor. Because you know, when I first went into the village, you know, sometimes you have a lot of thoughts in your mind. You say, "Will the people feel we are trying to take them from their churches?" You know, you start wondering.
Mm.
But when you get on the ground, Pastor, this is one family.
Yeah.
Religious.
Mm.
These are committed, dedicated people. I was even trying to apologize. So no, if you're going to church, it's okay. They didn't even regard church.
Mm.
So these are people who are religious, but the system has not helped them.
It has not helped them.
They are crying. The other woman was saying, please, look, if you leave us, you know, she was saying, she also mentioned about the 3 days. She was worried. She said, look, so now this is what shocked me. You are coming here for 3 days. You pray for us. We are healed. And then you go back. What happens?
Know, what is sad is these people you talk that they're religious. When you talk about where their churches are, number one, it's a long distance.
Yes.
For them to find that dry religious well.
Yes.
But they still commit, you know, to do that.
Yes.
But what is sad is you even move a long distance to attend church.
Yes.
And then there's no life.
There is no life.
Now, here's what happened that morning.
Yes.
You know, I had prayed in the morning to say, Lord, help the people.
Yes.
And that night, well, we preached on healing.
Mm.
The power of the blood of Jesus and how evil spirits have doorways, you know, to have their place in the homes and in the hearts of the people.
Yes.
You know, the focus of that message was to break this tradition where people want to go to the witch doctors, people seek for protection and they live in fear. And it was about telling them about the love of Jesus and how a life in the Word of God, you know, has protection and all that.
Yes.
And oh my.
Mm.
When we invited people to come for the prayer line, I think That was the longest prayer line I've ever
had. That was the longest prayer line. But Pastor, it was amazing. It was...
I think that was close to 180 people, if not 200, you know. And it was... Everyone had an issue to be prayed for. And a lot of people had headache, backache, legs, and other complications. Yes, yes. Others wanting to have children. And now, this is where I bring in my testimony, Brother Nzima. You know, we taught people on principles of faith.
Yes.
How they need to believe.
Yes.
How they shouldn't wait for some dramatic thing. You know, some people think faith is a feeling or a sensation.
Mm.
Faith is believing on the promises of God. And then when you hold on to that, healing will come.
Okay. Yes.
So I taught on that. I taught on that. Yes. And it was a very attentive audience. Mm. But you know, the prayer line was very long. There was Brother Chavula, Brother Mansa, and other brothers. And the work was so great that when we are praying for people, and then you have these demons manifesting.
Yes, yes.
Thankfully, we had a team of intercessors. When someone manifests demons, we don't get to waste time on that.
Yes.
They carry on the work.
Yes.
And so it got so busy.
Mm.
And later on, I knew that I think I've stressed myself here.
Yes.
The prayer line was very long. I was losing my voice, praying for each and every person. Because what we did this time, we didn't want to just pray a general prayer for the crowd. I told the people, I'll pray for one person at a time.
Yes.
And so they formed that queue and ushers were controlling. But after so much prayer, I think I lost strength. At one point when I felt dizzy, I knew that I've overworked myself.
Yes.
Now, I've always had this problem. People in the local assembly know it. I usually have migraine attacks. And a migraine headache, the one I use to experience, I say use because... You know, first I see an aura, okay? Your sight, you stop seeing clearly.
Okay.
You see some sort of aura, okay?
Yes.
So a lot of people experience that.
Yes.
So when you see that, it will go on for 20, 25 minutes. In 20, 25 minutes time, oh my, it hits you hard. And it's so painful. So painful. So over the years, I think I was experiencing that the time we were in secondary school with you.
Yes, I remember those years. Yeah,
you remember when I just see that.
You would have it, then I would have squeeze over, I would have to wait for you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'll have to prepare a place where I can sit nicely.
Yeah.
And oh my, you hold your head and it's terrible. You can cry, but it's so terrible, you know.
Yes.
And so I've had it for quite a number of years. I mean, over 29 years, actually. You know, so now it reached a point, I know the warning signs. And I know when I overwork myself, if I've done a lot of fastings, I know that I'm going to have it.
Okay.
When I eat certain foods like avocado, I know those are triggers. Also when I overwork myself.
Okay.
So it has happened during the Rufunsa Crusade when I preached so hard, I would know that, okay, I think this is going to strike me because I've overworked. So, and Panadol doesn't work, you know. You can take that painkiller, it just doesn't work. There are certain stronger painkillers which may help. But every time you see that aura sign, you know that it's going to hit after 20, 25 minutes. It's going to strike me. So now this is what happened. When I finished praying for that large crowd, I started thinking, I think I've overworked myself. And then there's this girl who really was possessed by a terrible, stubborn demon.
Yes, yes, yes.
You know? And later on, a brother called me. He says, you need to address these people. You know, there are people who had special cases who needed counseling. They were actually told to come the following day, but they thought they needed to be addressed that very night. So I just went there. I was all tired and worn out. I just told them, no, I can't see you today, but let's talk tomorrow. That time I was still okay. So immediately I ended talking to them. When I looked, there it was. The disturbance of sight, and it was terrible. I wasn't seeing properly.
All right.
like I always do. Mm. When it does that, I'll start preparing where I need to rest or sleep.
Yeah.
During the Rufunsa Crusade, I quickly went in the tent, put some cushions because I knew now it's going to strike me. And it did strike me.
Yeah.
I was in pain, you know, but later on I recovered. Mm. But even when the pain stops, it takes about 7 to 10 days for the aftermath pain to stop, you know, because you'll be sitting in a certain way. You don't want to bend over. You don't want to twist. And my mother really struggled with me over that. You know, she always had a hard time seeing me in pain the time I used to keep up with her.
Yeah.
And now this crusade, after when I saw that my sight is getting disturbed and I'm going to have a migraine attack, I quickly went in the vehicle and I need to do things quickly. And it was late at night and I needed someone to drive the vehicle. And, you know, I called on you because you've known how that thing attacks me. And I knew you would know the urgency of it. So I said, Brother Nzima, please, can you quickly drive me out of this place?
Yes.
Because I want the time the pain starts, I'll be able to hold it.
Yes.
And so I, what do you call, you know, I put this chair I was sitting on in a position where I can sleep well.
Reclining back, yes.
Yeah, yeah. And I told Nora, can we please quickly start off? So they had a blanket behind. I told them, I need this well cushioned. So I was positioning myself that when the pain starts, you know, I need to. But then I was worried when you got in the car that, well, Brother Mans actually had mentioned it to say, now, Brother Nzima, tomorrow he'll be needed in the morning here. I said, oh, yeah. Later on, I said, no, Brother Nzima, you need to remain here. That's when I quickly called Tenzin.
Yes.
I said, Brother Tenzin, please, can you quickly drive me? You know, and I was glad the crusade was over, people were leaving, but I needed the vehicle to be quickly to get on the road.
Yes.
So Brother Tenzin quickly got in the vehicle and we drove off.
Yes.
And I closed my eyes because I don't want to see the aura, you know, because it just gives you a bad feeling.
Yes.
So I closed my eyes. And as he was driving, I was counting the minutes just, and you know, it always starts in these edges here.
Yeah.
And I was waiting for it. Then as I was thinking, as the brother was driving, I started thinking, I said, I was thinking, those faces of people I was praying for.
Yes.
I started thinking about those faces. And a number of them had headaches.
Yes. Okay.
They were troubled by persistent headaches. You know, a number of them, backaches, legs. And then in my mind, I said, Lord, I hope you've healed some people.
Yeah.
And I started thinking about my migraine. I said, those who had the headache problem.
Yes.
Then I asked myself, I wonder, how does divine healing feel? Okay. I've been preaching about it, but
yes.
How does it feel? And my prayer was, Lord, I pray, because when I was praying for the people, I was feeling faith, you know?
Yes.
That I'm praying for these people and they're receiving something. Yes. I had that faith.
Yes.
But then when I was in that state now, when this aura came, a warning sign that now the thing you've been feeling for these 29 years, and its sign never misses. You need to prepare yourself in the next 25 minutes. Oh my.
Sorry, Pastor.
Yeah.
You know what surprised? Because remember that was past midnight. And of course, I had to update you over the transport situation and all that.
Yeah.
So I was so troubled. I was worried.
Yeah.
I said, no, I'm not going to call him. I decided not
to call him. Yeah, because every day we have to pay this bus.
I called Brother Mansa.
Yeah.
I said, brother, I called him, didn't pick up. I sent him a voice note. I said, brother, we need to do this ABCD for the buses, but we can't disturb the pastor. You've seen he's not feeling well. He was fast asleep. He didn't get that.
Oh.
So now I decided to call and you answered.
Oh, okay. I'm the one who answered you. So now you see what happened.
I was shocked.
Oh. Yeah. Because I mean, you know.
I called on Sister Piri's phone.
We come a long way.
Yes.
And you've seen my condition when that thing would attack me.
Yes.
the last thing I want is someone to go in a conversation with me, you know.
Because even Sister Peter, I didn't want to call her. I didn't want to. Yeah, I wanted just you to.
So now the thing is.
Yeah.
As I was waiting for the migraine, I was asking myself.
Yes.
I was asking. I was praying to God.
Yes.
Said, I wish, I hope, Lord, you've healed some people, even one person.
Mm.
Then I started thinking, how does healing feel?
Mm.
How does healing feel?
Mm.
By God's grace, I mean, I've enjoyed good health.
Yes.
Apart from the migraine. But I took the migraine like, I mean, I've prayed before, but it reached a point where I took it like as though it's part of my life, like it's the cross I have to carry.
Yeah, yeah.
But then 20 minutes passed, 30 minutes, 40 minutes. Oh. Then I opened my eyes. I noticed the aura was no longer there.
Mm.
It has never happened that the aura stops and there's no pain.
Okay, okay.
So then I told Brother Tenson, I said, Brother, I'm still waiting, but it's not coming. So the brother started laughing, but I was serious. I said, Brother, I'm waiting for it. It's not
but
coming.
It's not, yeah.
He started laughing.
Yeah.
Now, I understand Brother Tenson's laughter because the last month,
I see.
There's a monthly prayer and fasting we had, not the last one, the other one.
Okay.
2 months ago, Sister Yvonne, his wife, she had given a request during our monthly prayer and fasting where she expressed really a desire, you know, and I knew it came out of concern.
Yes.
You know, she told the church, she doesn't like it and she gets disturbed, you know, me having, you know, this problem. And
oh, okay. All right.
It really, I know it came out of her heart.
Mm.
I was there in that fasting, you know. She said, let us pray for the pastor. Let this migraine attack stop on him.
Mm.
And from the time she prayed like that, you know, I've never had one.
Mm.
I even ate avocado. The other time, Nora was telling me, you really wanted to eat this?
Mm.
You know, from the time she gave that request, it never came.
Mm.
So now, when this, I told Brother Tenson, okay, drive me and Brother Tenson, according to his testimony, says, no, but from the time my wife gave that request, you know.
Yeah.
So now when I told him, I said, Brother, I'm still waiting and it's not coming. So the brother just laughed. He says, hey, you forgotten someone gave a prayer request concerning this.
Okay, all right.
That was strange.
Okay.
1 hour, nothing. 2 hours, nothing. Now, you know what? Nothing. I mean, absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
Brother Nzima, if that thing had attacked me on Saturday, up to now, I would have been having the aftermath pain. It's a terrible pain.
Okay.
I can't carry things and all that.
Wow.
That's what happened. And then, you know, I started thinking about, oh my, the Lord visited me.
Mm.
He is able to hear what we think.
Yes, yes.
Even in praying to him.
Yes.
I just realized God had done something amazing. But what was wonderful is the following day, you saw the testimonies which happened. That woman who gave a testimony of the healing of her daughter, you know,
yes,
when the brothers visited the home.
Yes.
But here is something.
Mm.
When the service was over, one woman came.
Yes.
Approaching me because there were many people who were coming. They said they didn't attend the previous crusade. So I was standing nearby our truck and people were asking for prayers. We just tell them to kneel down and pray for them. Then this woman came and you know, she was one of the women in the prayer line.
Yes, yes.
She had talked about the dizziness she always feels, the weakness in the legs, the BP problem.
Yes.
And she says every single day that's how she feels. And she prayed, you know, she's never conceived. But this day, usually people don't want to come and talk to the preacher, you know.
Yes.
But she had the freedom, you know, to just come. She was observing me at a distance and she came. She says, no, I just needed one. I just wanted to tell you something happened. After I was prayed for, all those feelings of sickness, they left me for the first time.
Praise the Lord.
I've been able to stand.
Wow.
Dizziness has left me. I've never felt like this.
Wonderful.
She says, something happened to me and we were with Brother Chavula. And then I told her, I said, the same way God has healed you.
Yes.
Believe you're going to have a child.
Yeah.
And we will hold your child in our hands.
Yes, yes.
Have that faith. And I told Brother Chavula, great things are happening. Great Wonderful. Things are happening.
We give glory Amen. To God. And so, yeah. Pastor, you know what? You're talking about faith and how God works.
Yeah.
Remember, I narrated to you an incident of a girl we prayed for who had those spirits. She would move like a snake. Yeah. So, in our minds, we told the mother that she needs to come for the crusade.
Yeah.
Now, you know what? You know sometimes how our minds are. God should forgive us.
Mm.
I was very sure. I said, in the crusade, she'll be. Those things won't trouble her.
Yeah,
she'll
yeah.
be, you know?
Mm.
But you know what? She was not, those people who fell down with the devils, she was not amongst them.
Wow.
She was already healed.
Yeah, you see, Brother Nzima, that point you're bringing out is very important.
Because yeah. I told the brothers, I didn't see her.
I need to tell this yeah. to believers.
Yeah.
People are so filled with expectation of drama. God's working
yes.
is not drama.
No, it's not.
God works in simplicity. You know when Jesus prayed for the 10 lepers?
Yes.
As they were walking, one of them realized he was healed. That's what made him go back and tell the Lord Jesus, I'm healed.
Yes.
God can do something, I mean, spectacular, where someone says, hey, you know, I felt something. But don't, faith is not a feeling.
Yes, it's not.
The healing experience, which, by the way, in 29 years, it's the first time I experienced that, an aura.
Yes.
Didn't take yes. any medicine.
Yes.
And no pain came.
Yes.
The Lord let me experience that, and I'm so thankful to Him.
Yes.
And look at how we prayed for the headman. When we yes. arrived at his place,
yes.
we all felt a surge of faith.
Yes, yes, yes.
And as we started praying that day,
yes,
I just felt led to go around his house.
Yes.
Claiming the ground for Jesus Christ.
Yes, yes.
And this leads me to this testimony, Brother Nzima, you know. The headman got healed. His story went around and, you know,
yes.
it was amazing. But this leads me to this. You know, on the last day of the crusade, and elders came together. And we said, let's go see the headman.
Yes.
And we said, you know, we need to request him for a piece of ground.
That was very, yes, yes.
Where we can start building the church.
Mm-hmm.
I'm believing God that this will be the quickest church to be built.
Yes. Yes, it will be.
And probably the biggest in size. Because the hunger, which is there.
Yeah, I think so.
We just need to do something.
No, we need to do something.
You know, I mean, it's people saying, we need a church here, you know. And so we were now thinking, now, I mean, this always is the part where we get nervous.
Yes.
We want to be given land where yes. we can put up a church where people yes. can be coming to hear the word of God, where we can have convention meetings even there.
Yes.
Like we've been doing with Rufunsa Chatama. We want to visit these places,
yes.
take visiting ministers and elders,
yes. Yes. you know, yes.
You know, to visit these places. So
we
came together, we planned, we said, okay, let's go meet him.
Yes.
So we went to see him.
Yes.
We knew we may not have much challenges. I mean, he gave testimony during the crusade in fulfillment of the prayer we prayed.
He gave testimony, yes, yes.
Yeah, yeah. He stood up during the crusade.
Yes.
He told the people he's no longer walking with what do you call?
With the walking stick.
Yeah, he's no longer walking yes. with that, you know. Yes. And he testified.
Actually, sorry, Pastor.
Yeah.
When I brought back my family, my wife's side of the family.
Yeah.
My brother-in-law.
Yeah.
He was saying, hey, I didn't know my friend is now walking without a stick.
Without a stick, yeah. I mean, God touched him.
Yeah.
And our prayer was,
yes.
comfort us, Lord, that this would be a testimony.
And he didn't know about the testimony, by the way.
Ah.
My brother
he didn't know the testimony about there. The healing. Of
yeah,
the
he only came on the last day.
Ah,
I see. The headman spoke on the first day.
Ah.
It's just been the first or second day. But on the last day, he did not. So, because that's his uncle.
Wow.
You see that? So he says, hey, my friend is now walking without a stick.
And you know what was amazing?
Yeah.
I don't know whether Sister Nzima's family gets to hear this, but
yes,
I was wonderfully blessed to see almost her whole family there.
My mother-in-law was there, brother-in-law, sister, a lot of them.
That was amazing.
Yeah,
you know, that was amazing. And Brother Nzima, we'll have to do another podcast to talk about the impact of this crusade on the young people.
Yes.
But You know, I need to finish this one I've started.
Mm.
When we went to see the headman,
yes,
humbly, meekly, yes, sheepishly, you know,
hoping,
asking him to say,
yeah,
would you give us, I mean,
yes,
we don't want this thing to end like this. I think, yes, we need a house of prayer.
Yes.
And oh, he was filled with joy. He said, oh, you are speaking my thoughts, because when you made that crusade platform, and you, yeah, know, Brother Zima, that has always been our strategy.
Yes.
We want the platform we build
to become
where
a church.
The crusade is. We make that as the foundation where the church is built.
Amen.
That has been our strategy.
Yes. Yes.
But this time it came from him. He said, oh, you see, mm, when I saw the stage you made, I was looking at it and I was thinking, now these people will be going. And
yeah,
I was wanting to request you if you can be coming after 6 months.
Mm.
And I wanted to tell you to say, how of the crusade stage, why can't you make it as a church building?
Yeah.
You make us, actually, you call it a house where people can be prayed for. We need, yes, you know, a church,
yeah,
here.
Yeah.
And oh my, as he was speaking that, the whole team of brothers, the, yeah, leaders, they just, yeah, clapped. And yeah, Tenson was saying, hallelujah, praise, yeah, the Lord.
Yeah.
And so we are so thankful.
Yes.
And I'm trusting the Lord.
Mm.
To inspire people. If, yes, you're out there, you can't be on the mission grounds with us. That doesn't make us any more righteous than you.
Yes.
God has put us in different places with different challenges.
Mm.
And if you can't be in the field,
mm,
you can help those who are in the field.
Yeah.
And right now, our mission goal, mm, and fundraising is to raise resources, money,
amen,
to do two things.
Yes.
So this is going to, it's going to be a big project, because Mutenguleni, mm, we had a crusade. We still don't have a church building there.
Mm. Mm.
But I'm so thankful that the local believers, they're now putting up the little resources they have to burn bricks,
mm,
and start building a church.
Mm.
And now we have a challenge of two churches which needs to be constructed.
Yes, yes.
And, you know, I am in a hurry not to put them in sequence, to say, let's start with this and let's go with that.
Mm.
We need to raise these shelters. And we don't need complicated structures, Brother Zima.
No, we don't.
But a sizable place which can accommodate these people.
Yes.
Raise the walls, put a roof,
yes,
and then people can have a place where they can, amen, come for counseling.
Amen.
Because right now in Chongwe,
many
souls, over 200.
So many souls.
They've,
Pastor,
come to, so the Lord, souls, but so they don't, souls, have a church.
No. Yes.
You know, we are just renting that mission house, and yes, 200 people can't come for counselings and,
no,
prayer.
No, they can't. Mm.
But this is something we're trusting is going to happen. But,
amen,
I think let's just make it up to the next 10 minutes. Let's talk about the impact this had on young people.
Mm. Yes.
You know, I was listening to their testimonies, and,
yes,
oh, my heart was very warmed,
mm,
up hearing my son getting so excited,
mm,
at how he went to evangelism and sharing the word. I can see how it impacted him.
Mm.
Mm. And they went in the field too.
So what we did was we were in groups of three. So we wanted different ourselves, the main brothers on the mission, then the brothers who came from Rufunsa, and the youths.
Mm.
So thankfully the numbers were matching.
Okay.
So we were four.
Mm.
So we were actually, Brother Ted became the 15th person.
Mm.
So the other group had four people, but we were 33s. So we went out, we spread out.
Mm.
So we said, let's just go in different ways.
That was on Saturday.
Whoever we meet, yes. Mm. Whoever we meet, that will be it.
Mm.
So, well, it was a quick job. We had to do it in less than 2 hours because we were rushing for the service and all that. Yeah, so when we came back, we were, by the way, the young man I was with, Abraham, he would start narrating some of the sermons that have been blessing him.
Mm.
He talked of Brother Masuzio's sermon when we were moving in the countryside. He saw an acacia tree.
Mm.
He says, this is a shitty mood he was talking about. So those things, he says, he was narrating those sermons and all that. And so how his Christian journey, how he's getting to know the Lord. So when I met this man, he was drunk, by the way. I mean, we looked for people, Pastor. There were no
people. You are the one who was with Abraham?
Yes.
Oh, wonderful.
We looked for people. There were no people.
Mm.
But we saw a drinking place. There were people there.
A pub. Yeah.
So
You went there?
We went there. Mm. This guy was drunk. So I said, he greeted him. Of course, you know how drunkards behave. I would speak. He started interrupting me. But I held. I said, Lord, help us here. I don't know. But we've come to visit. These are the very people.
Yeah.
But later on, the spirit to control him started listening.
Mm.
So Abraham was very attentive. He was listening. And he was able to recall. So what surprised me was all the scriptures I gave that man, he was able to recall.
Yeah.
To recall them and all that.
Mm.
And, you know, so yeah. I asked him how the experience was. Mm. He started telling me that he's learning.
Yeah.
Yeah, he didn't
and know. You did well to interview all of them later on.
Mm.
They all gave experiences they have. And I want to upload those things on the website. Yes. When these guys later on one day grow, and if the Lord tarries, yes, maybe you and I will all be dead. I hope one day, yes, they'll be able to listen to the experiences they had. And I believe, mm, it will have a lasting impact.
Yes.
And this leads me to this, you know, that night when there were a lot of manifestations on the platform, when we were, yes, praying for people,
yes,
it put a fear in a lot of them.
It put a fear in a lot of them.
A lot of young people,
yes,
in our church had never seen that.
Yes.
You know, especially those who may have missed other crusades. This time we had more young people attend this crusade, mm, and I'm told that later on in the night, the house where they were gathering up, and I'm happy we were leaving our children behind,
yes,
go in the field, experience, mm, how it is at, mm, night. Mm.
That's right.
This night they were afraid because of what they saw happen during the crusade.
They were very eager to pray.
Yeah. You told me.
Because, yeah.
They really wanted to pray.
The other night, you know, it's like they were tired. So, of course, we'd say, okay, let us sleep early. And then we'll give you time to rest because, I mean, we've taken, but not that night.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm told. Everyone was really praying because they saw, hey, this is a mission ground.
Yeah,
and it's different.
Yes.
But God is very comforting.
Yes.
It was that very night when some people had fear that one brother had an experience that night.
Yes, yes.
Where the Lord showed him, mm, a bright light.
Yes.
Over the place where the missions team was keeping,
mm,
up.
Mm. Mm.
And out of that light, he saw a figure of a person. And, yes, he was told, do not be afraid.
Do not be afraid. Yes.
And it's just amazing what God is doing.
Mm. Amen.
Okay, so there's so much to talk, but,
amen,
we thought of just sharing these wonderful, mm, experiences, mm, we've had, mm, with you. Pray, amen, with us. Yes. It's a lot of work, mm, but the big problem we have,
yes,
is lepers. Lepers, yes, are few.
Yeah. Yes.
And the few who are there,
mm,
we need God's hand upon them.
Amen.
Mission work has a lot of needs.
Yes.
Okay.
It does.
It has a, yes, lot of needs. And, mm,
thank you, Lord.
There are these brothers who've committed themselves, you know, to do this work in the missions.
Mm.
And I want to take this opportunity, Brother Nzima, to salute,
mm,
and to respect some people who,
mm,
have partnered with me in this ministry.
Amen.
Whatever needs are there,
mm,
they always stretch out their hands,
mm,
saying, Brother Piri, you know, we have your back on this.
Mm.
This crusade, all the previous crusades, it would take us 3, 4, 5, 6 months to prepare. This was the shortest one we prepared. We did it, amen, in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And all that was, mm, because of the prompt response.
Yes.
To people who've really become friends, mm, to this, mm, ministry.
Mm.
And you know yourselves.
Amen.
I love you. We love you from the bottom, amen, of our hearts.
Amen.
And God bless you. The Lord sees,
amen,
the effort you put in this.
Mm.
To others who are listening to this and they say, well, I would want to put a hand to this, you are most welcome.
Amen.
Whatever you give towards this little ministry,
mm,
it goes a long way.
Amen.
Do you know, Brother Nzima, I have some people who are students,
mm,
living overseas,
mm,
and they get out of a little allowance they have. They say, Brother Piri, this could be small, but I'm giving towards your ministry.
Amen.
We really appreciate that.
Amen. That's right.
And we have missionaries, mm, who've stopped whatever they're doing.
Yes.
we have to keep them for their sustenance. We encourage them to do one or two things, but you know, because of the missions, they need to focus on that. It is out of that that we keep these missions going.
Yes.
Right now in Chongwe, we are waiting on the Lord on how the work will be sustained there, but he's never disappointed. We trust something good will come up.
Amen.
And this also goes to believers in the local assembly.
Yes.
In our local assembly. There are believers that I've grown up with. We went to the same school. I mean, like yourself, Brother Nzima, like the Mwansas and
Brother Chavula.
Brother Chavula and all Kashala. Brother Kashala and all these. I mean, they've wholly committed their hearts to this.
Yes.
Some of them, God has blessed them. They now have companies which are doing well.
Yes.
And there's also Brother Isaac, you know.
Yes.
He always says, Pastor, I'm sending this. Use it wherever you can.
Mm.
I appreciate that.
Amen.
You know, and I'm so thankful that I've seen this team. We've grown up together for all these 30 years.
Yes.
And these are brothers who've been consistent. They've had solid focus on the Word of God. No filthy lifestyle.
Amen.
That's true. Know, we've seen each other get married.
Yes.
We've seen each other have children.
Mm.
We've seen our children begin to play instruments in the ministry.
Yes.
And my prayer and my desire, Brother Nzima, is when the Lord tarries, these young people can carry the torch.
Yes.
And continue spreading the light.
Amen.
And we've had so much to learn from some elders in the faith.
Yes.
You know, as these churches are getting established,
yes,
we can't wait to have, you know, elders in the faith, Brother Veramo, Brother Strumman,
yes,
Brother Tim,
to
go through these places and just...
Yes.
I believe people have a lot to benefit.
Yes.
You know, like Brother Veramo has visited us a lot of time and his teachings have really helped us.
Yes.
And it's always a blessing having these men of God visit these places. I can hardly wait for such to start happening in Chongwe. Because Chongwe, among all the places, Brother Nzima, we've had crusades, has been unique.
Yes.
I think because in all the places we visited, it seems to be the darkest place, in my opinion.
Yes.
And where there's so much darkness, the grace of God abounds more.
It abounds, amen.
Yeah, and that is why it is my prayer, it is my cry, that we can have a church there the soonest.
Amen.
Yeah,
amen.
And I believe that is going to be like that.
And just a short phrase in closing. For me, my take, what have I learned from the Chongwe Crusade? God is able to use anyone is ready.
Right.
And when you go to the darkest place, that's where it will be brightest. So there's so many things to learn.
And you can't just go by planning. That's one thing in the missions.
Yes.
You can put up a program the way you want it, but you really need to flow with the Spirit.
Yes.
The day I went to see the headman, we had made a program. It's just to request him here and there. I ended up preaching to him.
Yes.
We ended up seeing a wonderful testimony.
Yes.
So, true. And that's how it happens. I mean, look at what happened to Brother Banda. Enoch comes at 2 a.m. And a very strange, weird thing happens. Later on, the Lord, and sorry, let me conclude with this. The way you were led to know the house of that man.
Yes.
Along the way, you went to pray for this woman.
Yes.
Along the way, confirmations of the visions were given.
Yes.
Angels lead servants of God.
Amen.
You don't have to open your eyes to see them, but the way things happened that day, brother, you were led by the Spirit.
Amen.
Shalom and God bless you, saints.
Amen.